Today on Real Radio.
We're all going to get bloody and dusty in this world, but there's nothing like going through this world right in the middle of the will of God. You have no greater joy than to be doing what you know God told you to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a parenthetical series within a series, if you would. It's called Church Growth 101. We're allowing 1 Samuel 16:13 as our springboard, if you will, to take a look at what Scripture says about the works of the Spirit. And we've seen so far how the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God works in the life of the believer. So let's continue as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs brings us more of his mini-series called Church Growth 101.
This man and his wife, and I was visiting them both this evening, 70 years. He's not feeling well, so she's kind of crying because he's not doing all that well. And she's not doing well now, so he starts crying because she's not doing well. That's exactly what I did. And I prayed with him. She's praying for him. And I pray for her, and he's praying for her. 70 years. And their desire to serve the Lord. He said tonight, what can I do? Well, what can you do? You can get better. That's what I told him. You can get better. Big surgery, recovering. What can I do? He wants to do something for the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Listen, you guys, you and I can have all kinds of really good excuses why we don't let God do what He wants to do in our lives. And on this side of the clock, those excuses have a lot of power to them. And they have a lot of justification to them. And there's things, listen loud and clear, there's things that you must do. Please understand. I was talking to a brother on Sunday, and they just had another baby, and he wants to get involved, but they got babies. You know what? Those babies, they're the number one thing in the universe. You take care of those babies. And then there's some of you, you know, you want to serve the Lord, but you're really neglecting your husband. You need to take care of him. You really do. That's your ministry first. Or your wife. You're running around taking care of the church, but your wife, she never sees you. Or when she does see you, she wishes you were back at the church. And that's not good. Your wife needs to say, sweetie, you know what? I know you gotta go serve, but I'll be here when you get back. And you know, we gotta make sure we have things right like this. And you can have all the gifts. And yeah, on the flip side, you can have them going and working in your life greatly. But there's Christian libraries full of books of famous men, who, after they died, their wives wrote books. And you can read about their lives. They were never home. Their kids grew up to be drunks. Their wives were abandoned all their ministry years. Franklin Graham talks about growing up without a father. That's sad. I want to encourage you tonight that there's a balance. I believe this. If you're doing something in your own strength without the gifting of the Holy Spirit, you are going to burn out. And you're going to burn out those that are in proximity to you. Okay? And you know what? You'll never get really much done. You'll be spinning your wheels like a locomotive on a track. That's greased. Those wheels are spinning and it's not going anywhere. Or you can say, Lord, I'm raising a kid, or I'm a single person starting a company, or look, we all got our thing, don't we? But Lord, I know that you saved me and gifted me to be a participant in the body of Christ. So Lord, I'm going to ask you to give me your wisdom on my time, your wisdom on my energy. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to give me your wisdom on where I should be serving you, Jesus, where and how. And God will do that. There's none of us in this place that can say, well, yeah, well, I fly this much a week. I'm a corporate this and that. There's something. And there's men in this church who own big companies. And they make sure that they're doing things for the Lord. And the funny thing is, I'm not worrying about them. Oh, gee, are they going to do it this weekend? I never think about it. You want to know why? They love to do it. What were you doing for the Lord in your life? You might say, well, you know, when I was in college, I was really into young people and helping them. And oh, I'd really love to do that again. But, well, you know what? Maybe that was God. You might say, well, you know what? I used to, at the other church I used to go to, I did it for years. I would walk around in the parking lot with a little nail at the end of my broomstick, and I'd pick up papers. I loved it. But, you know, I don't think that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It could be a gift of helps, my friend. I just know this. If the parking lot was filled up with filth, everybody would notice that. But you know what? I think God might want to do something in your heart based upon his gifting that he called you to do. And you happen to be nuts about that thing. And for whatever reason, you may not be exercising it. I wanted to just challenge you to find out what that is. I'm going to say something right now that's going to go over like a ton of bricks. And that is, for those of us who have teenagers, I know they're so busy, but this applies to them too. They're so busy, some of them, they're more busy than us. They got grades to maintain. They either got sports or cheerleading, or they've got other things going on, they're preparing for college, whatever it might be. Those are really good things. But at some point in time, maybe it's twice a year, I think that your teen, my teen, you know, I think they need to maybe get down to Tijuana or Rosarito or Ensenada. Or, I tell you, over to the Hopi Indian Reservation or the Navajo. And go there for a weekend and help and see what happens. Why? Is it like a, you know, is this torture for the teen? No, you know what? Even though they would go kicking and screaming, see, we'd have to rent one of those LA County Sheriff's Department buses. But once you get them there, this is the greatest thing you could do for a young person. They don't think so. And they would gripe all the way there. I got news for you. They'd gripe all the way there. And all the way back, they would say what we've heard them say. When are we coming back? Isn't that funny? Because they get out there, and they see this little, you know, a couple of teenage girls see this little Indian girl, and they start cleaning her up and painting her face with flowers and a happy thing and a little deal, and they put jewelry on her, and they're giving her the gospel, and they give her the, you know, the wordless book. Have you ever seen how that works? And da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, kids begin to find out. I say kids, forgive me, teenagers. The teenagers begin to find out, hey, there's more to my life. Gee, I'm deeper than I thought. I can do this and like it. How will they ever find that out? Now, some of you parents, you would never do that because your kid, if you go home tonight, you're going to say, Pastor Jack said to go to Mexico. They're going to say, well, shine Pastor Jack in that church. I'm never going back there again. No, you need to establish your own godly authority. Don't use my name. It'll get you nowhere but in trouble. You know, think about it, pray about it. And then here's another thing. We need somebody in this body to have the idea to, hey, man, you know what? God has these gifts in my life, and I do this, and you can check me out. I'm a safe guy, and I'm a legal guy and all this stuff. And what I'll do, I'd love to take the youth down for a day or two. In fact, we'll swing hammers and saws and get some nails, and we'll go down there and help some people that are at this orphanage down in Rancho Sordomundo. We can do that. And it'd be like pulling teeth to get the kids down, to get them onto the bus. But it changed their life. My wife still talks about times when she went with her with Anaheim First Baptist Church to, somewhere out there by the Lake Mead. And she says it was in the middle of summer, and people were melting. But she loved it. And those things are so powerful. And I mean, there's a way and an opportunity where gifts can be stirred up. Most of the time, the opportunity is how we find out. It's the opportunity that cracks open, gives birth to the very gift that we have. And so we can sit here in an academic sense and say, well, okay, I took the little exam. I think I have this gift. You can try that. And maybe some of the gifts you can try that with and determine that. But personally, some of them, you just have to step out and go for it. And it doesn't have to be Mexico. It can be the local hospital here. It can be the bulletins being folded. It could be something. And every time I say this, I always feel like you don't believe me. But, in fact, I'll say it this way. If you're visiting, take this challenge that I'm about to give you and go home and bless your church. That's how much of a blessing it is. And it's this. Venture out and see if God is in that area. And see if God opens the door. If God opens the door, we're going to have to hold you down. You're going to be like a kite. You're going to be so excited. And that's when the truest, most wonderful type of Christian growth happens. It's fantastic. And I had someone, I love it, years ago, she came to me and she said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step out. But what if I fail? And I said, well, number one, you're going to get an A for stepping out. Number two, you're going to know that that was not your gift. That's a great thing to know, isn't it? In fact, when I told her that, I told her, you will know more than what most people who sit in church don't know. Because they sit around and go, he must be talking to someone else. But when you step out, she says, I don't know. And she goes, well, what if that's not it? What if I fail at it? And I just told her, I said, you know what? I'm sure, because I will be, but I'm sure the Lord will be so proud of you. You'll get an A. You'll know what your gift is not. And en route, you're going to find out what your gift is. And I want to leave this exhortation or encouragement with you this way. Yesterday, my neighbor was mowing his lawn last night in the evening. He's mowing his lawn. And he's got a little boy. His name's Blake. Cute little guy. Anyway, Steve's out there mowing his lawn. He's got his mower going. And I don't know how old Blake is. Maybe two, close. Maybe a little over two. But every time his dad starts the mower, Blake goes into the garage and gets his little Fisher-Price mower. And Steve's mowing, and his Blake's behind him with the little, and he goes, you know, the little click, 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 click. It's great. Doesn't it bring you memories when you hear that? It's like, I had one of those. Steve's mowing, and that's very cool because as they're mowing, Blake said, I want to race you. Let's have a race. So his dad gets down there, and they got the mowers going. And as they went across the lawn, Steve just stayed far enough ahead of Blake to get Blake to exert his utmost. In other words, he didn't go, okay, son, ready, set, go! And Steve just stood there, and his son runs down there. No, he didn't do that. Who would have wanted that? No boy wants that. He made it a race. And they're going like this. Across the yard, and I'm watching this. It's great. And right before Steve got to the sidewalk, you could see Steve fake a huge, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. Oh man. And Blake just stretches his mower out there and goes. And it's so cute because the kid, the mower makes it to the curb, to the sidewalk, and he just falls flat on his face on the grass. Just and gets up and, all right, you know. And I can't help believe that God is so much into that kind of encouragement. He'll do things like this to you and I. And allow me to just, my thing. For you, it might be God will say, you know, straighten that chair. Go ahead, you can do it. Straighten that chair. For me, God will say, tell that guy in line, come on. And in my head, he'll say, well, I would tell him. So you tell him. Oh, Lord, you know, come on. No, tell him. And there's always that battle. Okay, oh, because it has to be by faith. You know, if you're some kind of a weirdo, hey, everybody, you grab the microphone in aisle three. Hey, Jesus Christ rocks. He rules aisle three. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong. That's not right. But if it's a spiritual thing, the insecure factor is going to be there. I can't do this, God. But you know what? You step out. And I think the Lord will so much do it, like Steve was doing it with Blake. He's right alongside you. And he's like, come on. And he's going to encourage you along. And you're going to have that sense, that victory feeling. I wish I knew a word for it. It's those of you who are in various ministries, please take this right, all of you. It sounds terrible, but there's no greater feeling on earth than after you have finished your ministry. When it's done, it's the greatest feeling. Those of you who tomorrow night will go out and share the gospel door to door, you can't wait for it to be over. Not because you don't like it, but because there is a contentment satisfaction inside that you cannot buy, trade for, barter for. You can't find it anywhere. And no one knows what I'm talking about unless you've done it. Sunday night after fourth service on Sunday, that's the time for you to ask me for a loan. I'm as happy as a clam. Why? I'm done. It's not that I got the next day off. It's not that I have the next day off. That's not it. It's, you know what? There's this sensation that God gives that you finished a course for that day that He ordained. And it is the best feeling. And I can't stand just having that for me. Some of you are nodding your head, you know what I'm talking about. You all should have that. But you'll never have that unless you find out what God and how God wants to use you, either in this body or the body that you're going home or back to. And I'll end with this. John and I were at a men's retreat. It was in September. It was September 26th. I don't remember the year now, though. And we were up at Twin Peaks. And I was doing, it was a men's retreat. Men's retreat, you know. You go there because you're supposed to go there. And you're also supposed to go there because you want God to speak to you, for sure. And you also go there because guys bring a lot of cool and unusual things to eat. So it's just, you know, Friday's getting underway. It's a pretty wild thing. All right, man. But he goes, okay, everybody stand up. And I, what? Oh, stand up. Okay. We're all standing. It's a packed house. Packed. I'm saying like 200. I don't know how many it holds. He says, all right, raise your right hand. What are we doing? I don't know. Repeat after me. I vow. That's serious. I vow. To you, God. What's he doing? What's going on? What are we doing? I vow to you, God, to give you my life. Okay, I've already done that. That's cool. That's no problem. Okay. To give you my life, to serve you. Sure, of course. Of course, to serve you. And to go back to the church that I attend. And tell the pastor that you're available to be used any way he wants you to be used. Wait a minute here. When you get that many men in a room, though, you have to say it. You may be lying to God, but they're not going to know it. We drove down that mountain, and I didn't think much about that. But then Sunday morning, the following Sunday came around, and I had the Holy Spirit said, I'm not kidding you guys. I don't understand how God does that, but he does it. And the Lord reminded me, you vowed me a vow. Oh, Lord. And so I went, and I said, I'll be used any way you want. Just tell me what to do, anything. See, it had nothing to do with that pastor. It had everything to do with me and God. And I tell you, I am so glad I did that. My insides were crawling. But you know what? I don't know how my life would have been if I would have rejected that moment. I hate to think what might have come if I would have reneged on that vow to God. Sometimes God will use us or catch us. Maybe God takes us more seriously than we take ourselves. You know what I mean? By the grace of God, may you seek him to stir up the gift within you. Where you're at tonight, you can say, God, I remember when I was used by you. And I haven't done or been anywhere. I rededicate to you my willingness. I rededicate to you, God, my willingness to stand, as it were, with Isaiah chapter 6 and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. And those people that have done that, I see them walking around this church. They've got smiles on their faces. They're really strange people. The world could be falling down around them. The walls can be caving in. They've got blood on their brow or dirt on their cheek. But you know what? They've got a skip in their step. You want to know why? We're all going to get bloody and dusty in this world. But there's nothing like going through this world right in the middle of the will of God. You have no greater joy than to be doing what you know God told you to do. And our young people are on the threshold of finding this out. Some of them are. Most of them need to find it out. And what about the rest of us? We're still drawing air. We're still breathing. That means there's still something that he wants to do with us. And that means there's a gift or gifts that he wants us to exercise.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. Church Growth 101 is actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel 16:13 and, of course, other biblical passages that have a look at the only true way to extend and grow the kingdom of God, and that is through the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's the name of our Monday night television program here that airs on hischannel.com. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is also the name of our free app for all your mobile devices. Download it today when you get a chance. But also, we'd like to introduce you now to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, of course, you'll always be able to get the recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, but there are other tabs and buttons you can take advantage of: Real Radio broadcasts, Pastor Jack's devotionals, resources that'll help you grow in the knowledge and admonition of our Lord, and a whole lot more. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our new website. Visit us when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.